Monday, June 2nd, 8 a.m. Well, it's finally happening. After all these years of trying to secure funding and get all of this red tape sorted, I am finally conducting my study. And I have decided that, mostly for my own personal benefit, I'm going to keep this audio diary. I always find when it comes time for presentations at conferences, I lack that, interesting stories that keep the audience riveted. I know the material can be rather dry, even if the subject matter is quite stimulating. Oh, that's funny. Oh, right, okay. So what I'm hoping is that if I record my thoughts on each day's events and things like that, I might actually get something that's a little, I don't know, juicier. I don't imagine it's going to be that difficult to come up with something intriguing given the topic of study. And I mean, you don't just study the impact of sexual frustration and cognitive ability, without there being some interesting stories. Given the fact that I've been studying this for years, but have never been given permission by the Institutional Review Board to actually do this experiment, it makes so much sense. You know, to have this dozen young male subjects basically in chastity for the duration of the month, and to just, well, strap them down and release them to show them pornography, then have them complete a battery of tests, which of course they've already done on their first day. That was yesterday, and that went quite well, I think, as a kind of an incoming thing. And so, you know, I expect it will be quite an interesting month, and I should have no lack of stories. This is a rather unorthodox approach to the topic, but I mean, I've been doing these studies for, well, anecdotally for many years, but I'm just so glad that I finally have the green light for this project after all this time. Here's hoping it goes well. Thursday, June 5th, 6:45 p.m. Subjects are responding as expected. I'm so excited I get to say that. There are certainly some minor complaints of chafing, sexual frustration, and pretty much everything that I expected. You know, several of the males are more aggressive, and I'm going to have to say that I'm actually quite surprised at how quickly this aggression is building up in the subjects. I thought it would be at least another week before we would see this kind of, you know, fist fights breaking out among the subjects and such. At any rate, you know, there are a range of responses, but it seems for the most part, you know, I'm seeing this rise in aggression, anxiety. You know, we're not testing hormone levels, which if I were to do this study over again, I probably would. I'd venture a guess that testosterone levels of these men are through the roof right now. But they seem to be holding out on the cognitive ability tests, and most of them are performing roughly the same. There does seem to be a slight dip, but it has only been 4 days. I hardly think that these men are going to show a marked decrease in cognitive function this quickly. At any rate, there does seem to be an early outlier. And maybe I'm just being paranoid, but there seems to be this one subject that just is not reacting in the same way. Subject 7. He seems to be flourishing in the conditions. Instead of seeming to be anxious and aggressive, he instead seems to be excited, pleased, content, he's self-reporting levels of happiness and contentment, although he is also self-reporting a high level of sexual frustration. So, I mean, and certainly during the chair test, his genitals are responding similarly to every other male's. I mean, it's not like he's not getting the sexual stimuli, and there just seems to be this, I can't quite put my finger on it. I mean, his scores, his scores have not budged, so he just seems to be reacting differently than the other subjects. I'll certainly have to keep an eye on him. I do hope he doesn't skew the data too much. Monday, June 9th, 5 p.m. Something in Subject 7's eyes. I know that's such a strange way to start the audio diary. I can't seem to stop thinking about Subject 7. When I strapped him down today in the chair for the usual trial, my hand slipped, and his left wrist was tightened much more aggressively than it should have been, and much tighter, and he did cry out in pain, but then he sucked in his breath. It was an anomalous response, one that indicates sexual arousal, but I found it particularly intriguing, and I can't quite. And then he had this smirk on his face, and he said, "Thank you, doctor," in this voice that I'm not sure what the tone was. It just, I'm not sure. I don't understand, but it did make my heart rate elevate, and I don't know, my palms got sweaty, and I had this reaction, this physiological reaction that I am not sure I've ever quite felt before. I'm just gonna chalk it up to not enough sleep and too much time around too messy young males. Tuesday, June 10th, 4:15 a.m. Having trouble sleeping. I keep reliving the moment from yesterday when I strapped Subject 7 into his chair. It wasn't like any of the other subjects. It wasn't like any of the other times I'd strap someone into the chair. I could feel this intensity coming off of him, and as illogical as it sounds, I could feel his intense arousal and excitement of being strapped into the chair, coupled with this resentment and frustration on his part. He favored that moment. I think now that I'm aware, I think of all the times I've strapped him in, I think he favors that moment when he is strapped down. Those few moments where he gives over complete control, and he fights this desire in him to resist, and he seems to have this urge to push at my boundaries. I mean, the other subjects, sure, they leer, they try to catch a view down my shirt, they make suggestive comments, they move while the chastity device is removed in such a way as I stimulate them manually. But subject 7? It's different. It's not about the hope that my hand will accidentally caress his genitals during the device removal. It's that moment when control is wrested from him that he seems to await eagerly. I can't say I understand his motivation. It's driving me nuts. At any rate, I should try to get some sleep. Wednesday, June 11th, 11:58 p.m. Subject 7. He is an outlier. A rogue data point. He's throwing off the entire study. I should eliminate him from this study. I can't just throw out one of my data points. There's no valid reason to remove him from the trial. It's that smirk of his. The way he looks me in the eye and says, "Thank you, doctor." I want to smack him, and yet I want to touch him at the same time. This is so unprofessional and irrational, maybe I should just see if I can find a fellow department member to conduct the chair trials for the next few weeks so that I don't... But if I do that, the parameters of the study will be marred and the data will be unusable, but maybe that is the best idea. I think that's what I'm going to have to do, because I can't... every other subject is... It's so clear. They're mounting sexual frustration. They're growing aggression. Their scores are starting to fall precipitously across the board. None of them are performing at comparable levels except for subject 7. If anything, and I have avoided looking too carefully at the data because I'm not sure if I could handle this being the case. If anything, his scores have improved. Something about being kept frustrated. Something about this situation has sharpened his sense of awareness, and he seems to be, his cognitive abilities are just off the chart, and he's ruining my study. Friday, June 13th, 11:15 a.m. I may have endangered the entire project. I knew I should have asked Dr. Lakshmi to take care of this. I just knew it. I knew something like this would happen. I'm shaking. I can't believe I let myself slip that this actually happened. It's like I'm just going to throw away my career. It was Subject 7's turn in the chair, and I was strapping him in just like I have every other day of this trial, and I felt myself fill with this fire, almost a rage. I looked into his eyes, and I could feel him resisting the strap, and something in the way he was looking at me, I just snapped, and I spit on him. I spit on him, right on his face. I can't believe I did this. And, I don't know what's worse, that I spit on him and endangered years of publishable work, grant money, and... Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. What if the IRP board finds out about this? I could have my credentials revoked. After what I had to do to allow the IRB to let me undertake this project, the red tape, I can't believe I've done this. I, But I don't know what's worse. I don't know if it's worse that I endangered this project or that both of us. Or that both of us immediately responded to the moment physiologically in this. I'm not sure if I've ever, and I mean ever, felt so immediately aroused. And I've had a very healthy sex life, and I've studied sex and sexuality for more than a decade, and I cannot even. I've never felt that way so quickly, and I mean, of course, I quickly removed his device, stepped out of the room for the duration of his trial, and while I was putting it back on, I couldn't look at him, and I heard him say, "Thank you, doctor," in a way that I am sure had nothing to do with the session and everything to do with me. Me losing control with me spitting on his face. I don't know, maybe it's all in my head. Maybe I imagined it. Maybe. I certainly didn't imagine spitting on him, but maybe the response. I'm so curious now. I'm not sure what I should do, and I'm just so curious. Scientifically curious, of course. Monday, June 16th, 6 p.m. I should have stopped these trials. I certainly should have released Subject 7 from the study instead of continuing, and I didn't, and today, today when it was time to strap him down, the fire in his eyes, the way he tilted his chin up, and as I was trying to adjust the straps, the way he balled his fists and moved his arm to make it difficult, so I had to jerk the strap quickly, tighten it, and the way he hissed, and I just couldn't resist. Spit on him again. This time I watched his eyes. And then I reached out and slapped him right across his face. And he started breathing heavy, and I was breathing heavy, and I could see him straining against the chastity device, and I could tell he was completely aroused, and I don't know what came over me, but I put my forearm against his throat, and I looked him dead in the eyes, and I choked him. I choked a bound man. Never been so turned on. What is happening to me? I can't. I don't know. And then I came to my senses and stepped away. And I unstrapped him quickly instead of running the daily trial, and he tried to catch my eye, and I could not look at him, and I let him out of the room, and as I was leaving, he just whispered, "Thank you, doctor." doing? What am I doing? This man, I just, there's something I have to understand, and this need inside me. Know what, after I did? After that, I went to my room, and I came so hard. I've never been so fast. And all I know is that I cannot wait. I cannot wait until it is time. Oh, until it is time to strap him down again tomorrow. Tuesday, June 17th, 3:15 p.m. At this point, I've given up all pretense that Subject 7 and I have some sort of doctor-patient, or doctor-clinical subject, but, researcher. Oh, we're experimenting, all right. We are researching, but the research that we are doing. Oh, this is not sanctioned research. The clinical trials are continuing for everyone else, and I am happy to report. Oh, I'm happy to report that the other subjects seem to be performing as expected, and Subject 7. Subject 7. Today I didn't even strap him down today. Oh I instead have him undress, lean against the wall, spread his legs. I can't believe this. And I took a switch, one I had cut earlier in the day, just out for a nice walk, of course, and I beat him. I And as I hit him, these great long red welts appeared across his back and across his buttocks, and I could see his penis just straining against that cage. And after each stroke, he would cry and then he would say, "Thank you, doctor." And I kept hitting him. And the whole time I could feel myself getting wetter, feel my nipples just tightening, and this sense of euphoria as I continued. Then he was shaking. Yeah. I hit him so hard. He was shaking. And I was shaking. And he turned around. We looked in each other's eyes, and I have never felt that kind of connection with anyone. And I had to sit down, and so I sat in the trial chair, which is and I sat, and he came over and he kneeled in front of me. And he looked at me and said, "Doctor, is there anything I can do? Please, doctor, let me help." And then somehow, I'm not even sure how, he had slid my pants down, and he was tonguing my clitoris, and I was writhing in pleasure, and all I could think was, the cameras are rolling. Because I record every session. And that just made it so much hotter thinking about how I would have the record of that event. Of my beating him. Of him licking me to orgasm. Me grabbing the back of his head, shoving his face deeper. I came so hard. I've never had such a powerful orgasm. And then he looks at me and he asked me if I would let him out. And I just looked at him and I said, "No, of course not." And this look of frustration and contentment crossed his face, and thank you. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure exactly what's next. But I can't stop thinking about everything I want to do and experiment with Subject 7. I never knew.